Okay. Good evening. Lord bless you.
Bless you too.
I got some new paper for you. Some more paper for you.
You got binders to put them in.
I do.
No, we
did. Yeah, but I do too. All you had to do was ask.
We only got these here.
We got binders.
We got
I don't know how many papers you're going to be giving us.
Oh, I don't know. Could be a pile. You know. Have you got the other?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We had trouble answering the questions because they were kind of... So anyway, we read the first book, the first chapter, for three or four days solid. So you can ask us anything.
There's no right answer.
Oh.
It's what you find in the Word.
We say,
Yeah. I'm not going to grade anybody. No. No, you did it for Jack.
Oh, okay.
What's this?
I gave this to you.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Good. All right.
Where is everybody?
Here you go.
Hey, you're awesome. Hey, what are you doing over there?
Thank you. All right. Oh,
sorry. Just wrapping her up.
We're here. Thank you.
She's okay. You're so precious.
She's awake this time. Hello.
You're my sweetheart. Yes, you are. You're such a sweet girl. Yes, you are. She's a sweet baby.
I'm going to bless you.
That's for her. Yeah. Okay. All right. You could have put the heat on. Okay, we'll get going here.
Hello. Jenny's here. Remember that scripture's in the Bible that we were talking about?
Thank you.
All the gangs wrote it down.
I think it's 1 Corinthians 15:12.
What's that?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Excuse me?
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The baby came. Pay attention to the Bible study, not the baby. I know that's tough. I know that's tough. Real tough. All right. Let's see. Let's see, who can pray? You need somebody to pray and open our time in prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's see, Jenny.
Thank you.
Amen. Will you open our time in prayer, please?
Father God, we just thank you for this day and all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us this week already, Lord. Thank you for the promise of the spring. We thank you for everything that you
Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Yes. Okay, let's see here. All right, Joel and Xiaoying. I know, the baby's a lot better looking than I am, I know.
Happy birthday.
I bet you could. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. How many have taken opportunity to at least look at the questions? Oh, Jack and Bonnie and Peter and Maureen. Who else?
I looked up.
Amen. What these are, let me explain. These have no purpose other than to give you a chance to study and develop a habit of studying. If when you read the Bible, you don't just read it, but you I read my Bible with a red pencil, and I read my Bible with a pen and paper. I underline the verses that stand out to me. For instance, this morning, I took a lot of time because I was in Deuteronomy 4. I would encourage you, read Deuteronomy 4. It is incredible what Moses said. And I began to underline, and I began to write, and then thoughts would pop into my mind, and I used to be able to remember those thoughts an hour later. Now I can't remember them a minute later, so I have to write them down. So that's what that's for. These are not quizzes. You'll notice that the questions, for instance, number 8 on page 9, does any of this specifically touch any area of your life that you would like to change? That's none of my business. It's none of your partner's business, your wife or your husband's business. It's your business between you and God. So what we're trying to do is not just learn from the Word of God, but we're trying to also inspire us to a new form of Bible study, to where we begin to allow the Word of God to impact our life. Write down any questions that, while they are fresh in your mind, that you might have in the study of this letter. So that's what I really want you to concentrate on. When you read a verse and you come across it and you say, hey, what does that mean? Write that down so that you can ask it Wednesday night. And we can take the time. Okay? So that we can help you understand. Someone texted me a question about the sermon on Sunday. And they wondered how I got to the fact that Naomi took Obed and nursed him, literally nursed him, when she was past childbearing years, but she developed milk and could take care of the baby because that's what God said. So where did I get that, I was asked. Well, go back into the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, and you'll find that Miriam took her brother Moses from the princess, took him back to her mother, and her mother nursed her. And you may say, yeah, but her mother had just given birth a few days earlier, so of course she could nurse her. That's not what I'm talking about. The Greek word there is identical to the Greek word in Ruth chapter 4. So that tells me that it wasn't just I became a babysitter to her. You know, you might say, well, Emily took her daughter over to her grandmother's, Maureen's, and Maureen's took care of the baby, and you might use the word nurse. And it doesn't mean, Stephen and Ruth are nurses. And they nurse people in the hospital. So we have different ways of using it. However, where the way it was used in Ruth chapter 4 and in Exodus chapter 1 are the same word. And so that's where I got it. It's those kind of things that I want us to develop. Let's learn together. While you ask questions, I learn. While I ask questions to you, you learn. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, well, if it doesn't, tough. That's the way it's going to be. All right, now, I've divided Ephesians up into a chart to help you understand the book. And I've got that on page 9. And so use that chart. If you need another copy of it, let me know. You can use that chart as you study, and you can make use of it to know where you are each time. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Verses 1 through 2 is the greeting. It doesn't have a whole lot of theological impact, but Ephesians 3 through 14, Joel. Do you have it in our translation that's in the notes?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want you to read it out of. You didn't bring your notes?
No.
Go, guess what? I've got a set right here for you. Amen. I'm gonna tie them around your neck is what I'm gonna do.
Today.
I'm gonna tie them around your neck is what I'm gonna do. Joel.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That sounds a lot like John 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Am I done?
Did you go to 14?
Yeah.
You're done. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
When this was written, what was the political and the cultural environment of the day?
The temple worship.
What else? Was there freedom of worship for those of the way?
No.
No. There was great persecution. In fact, this book is written from prison. There wasn't, to help us understand, it wasn't like it is today. I get in my car and I go to church. Nobody stops me on the way. There's nobody when I get here prohibiting me from coming in. My life is not in danger should I go. In those days, many of the churches were not like this. They were house churches for the early Christians. The synagogue was the place ruled by the Jews. The Jews weren't particularly enamored with the Christians. Why?
They weren't of their same bloodline.
Why? Yeah, that's partly correct.
Because they accepted Jesus as the Messiah.
Yeah, because they were claiming Jesus was the Messiah and the synagogue was still waiting for the Messiah. It wasn't advantageous. So they would get together and they would pattern the meetings after the Hellenistic synagogue patterned their meetings. And all they would do is they would celebrate a meal. Remember 1 and 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he deals with the fact that they would push and shove when they came to the meals. And everybody wanted to be first. And so that came, they would celebrate a meal. They would celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Did you have a question, Lou?
No, I'm thinking my glasses.
Oh, okay. Which was a commemoration of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. They would sing hymns. Who chose the hymns?
Jews.
In this house church, who would choose the hymns? Anybody present? Anybody present? They did not have, the leadership would be for the teaching. There was no leadership prior to when you got to the teaching. Whether the teaching was first or last, that didn't matter. They were not as organized as we are today. In Norway, They have the preaching first and the singing second. So if we were to pattern our church, our service as after the Pentecostal churches in Norway, you would come, we would open in prayer, and I would preach. Get done preaching, have the altar call, whatever happens, then we would take up prayer requests and pray, and then we would sing. And you would have the worship time. So when they got together, they would have the meal. That was the first thing. They would celebrate a meal together and eat. Then when they would have the Lord's Supper, commemorating the Last Supper, and then they would choose hymns. And during the hymns, some would be inspired by a passage out of the Old Testament, because that's all they had. Hello? And they would read a passage of the Bible, and then they would discuss it in the teaching. And they would just discuss it. Now, because of the culture, the women could not necessarily be part of the discussion. That's why there's some poor, ignorant churches today that say women ought to be silent in church. No, we don't live according to that culture. But the fact was is that the men did not sit with their wives. The wives sat together and the men sat together. Segregated congregation. You wouldn't understand that. Is that the way it was in Ghana? It wasn't. That's the way it was in Colombia. When I got to Colombia, all the men sat on one side of the church and all the women sat on the other. The men on the right and the women on the left. And you could not sit together. And so what would happen is that then when they were having that discussion over the scripture that had been read, and they were hearing the teaching from whoever was doing the teaching, and the women would have a question, they'd yell over to their husband, "Hey, honey, what's he saying?" And that's what Paul addresses in the letters to the Corinthians. You can't do that. Everything has to be done in decently in order. In fact, if you remember, he says, wait till you get home to ask. He actually says that in his letter. So that's the way it was. And of course, then they would spend a lot of time praying. The major part was praying. The oral readings were not done like Joel read. They would be done, and he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. They were chanted. They were chanted. Not unlike the rap of today. Not unlike that, except that it would not be just spoken. It would actually be chanted. Anyone see the movie of... What was his name? Coming to America?
Eddie Murphy.
No. The song, Coming to America. Neil Diamond. Anybody seen the movie of his life?
Yes.
Okay. Remember the synagogue where he was the, what they call it, incantor?
Cantor.
Huh?
Cantor.
The cantor. You ever been to one of those? They're beautiful, aren't they? Yeah. The cantor. That's the way this was done. That's exactly the way this was done, except the songs were the actual scriptures that they were reading. And the cantor had an ingenious way, and that was portrayed in that movie. A genius way of taking something he had not read before and singing it. And creating the melody as he read the scripture. That would be beautiful. The trouble is with a lot of Pentecostals, they'd get too excited during the chanting and they would probably be dancing in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, what was helpful to this is that the vowels in the Greek language had a musical quality to them. So it made it a whole lot easier. It's not like English. Our language is horrendous for that kind of stuff. But the Greek language was easier, and so it was easier in the public address. If you've listened to a black preacher in a Pentecostal church preach, It would have been similar to that, except it wouldn't have been with such tremendous volume, and it wouldn't have been so repetitive, and it would have been more musical. Okay? To give you an idea. So the readings of Scripture were hymn-like. Someone asked me, Pastor, why do you love the hymns so much? A lot of our hymns are the Word of God put to music. A lot of the hymns are the Word of God put to music. That's why they're very doctrinally sound, except for one. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by His grace we will. That is so unscriptural. That's got people tied up in a bunker somewhere, and they got the flag out and they're waving, hoping someone comes to save them. No, the Church of Jesus Christ is marching. It's the enemy that's waving a flag. It's not us. Glory to God. But the prayers too would be intoned musically. Now, if you've ever been in an old-time Pentecostal church, I've heard that many times. I've heard messages in tongues and interpretation given, put to music. And the music is not written anywhere on planet Earth. It's just a music that's created by the Holy Ghost on the way. Have you ever seen that happen, Jenny?
No.
The old-time Pentecost used to be that way. I can remember in Bucksport, people would just break out singing in the Holy Ghost. Right in the middle of the service, as the Spirit moved them. Complete liberty. That's the way it was here. Prayer two, in tone. Singing a line and the people responding. Now, if you want to understand if that's real or not, look at Psalm, and I'm going to have to verify. I think it's 135. Psalm 135, I think it is. In fact, in South America, we put this psalm to music. It is beautiful. No, it's not 135. It must be 136. Yeah, 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And then the chorus would be, His mercy endures forever. And that's all through that psalm. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. So the person that was doing the praying would pray this psalm, because this also was a prayer, and he would just read the first part, and everybody would answer, for His mercy endures forever. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So that gives you kind of an idea of what it was like. The service was never performed for the congregation. The service was never performed for the congregation. Instead, everybody that was there, every single person that was there, became a participant and a leader in the service. Does that make sense? Okay? A member, a visiting prophet, or a visiting evangelist might show up, and he might give a prophecy of encouragement or a ministry of rebuke. Traveling teacher might speak, or a letter like this letter might be intoned musically. Now, when you read this 3 through 14, try to read it in a singing, intoning, chanting manner. See if you can get an idea of what it was like. Very difficult for us. Okay? Now, what was Paul's main phrase here? Can someone decipher it out of those 11 verses, his main, or 12 verses, his main phrase? One word. He starts out giving us the theme in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This letter is all about the blessings you and I have in Christ. Now, I like to title these the responsible blessings, because the blessing gives us responsibility. And then he tells us in verse 4 what the blessings are. Even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us. We're going to study this carefully. In fact, I've got a whole printout I'm going to give you. I ran out of paper, or you'd get it. I got to go to the store and buy a box of paper, but you would have got it tonight. On predestination, to help you, we're going to address predestination again, probably next week, because it's vitally important for us to understand because of the confusion and the error that exists around this doctrine in the churches today. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will and for the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us in the beloved. So all this is about blessing. Remember, how many times have I said to you at different occasions, if you're discouraged and if things aren't going right, make yourself a list of every blessing God has ever given you. Go up to Staples and have them put that in plastic and then stick that to your refrigerator. And when you're having a pity party thinking that you've got it so bad and nobody else has it as bad as you and things are so awful and you don't know when you're ever going to get out of here, and even so come Lord Jesus, just go over and read that. It will change your whole perspective. When you concentrate on the blessings rather than concentrating on the trials. Amen? Amen? Now look at Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47, Debbie.
And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
My. So this was happening in the homes on a daily basis. Now, I wonder how many we would have attending here if we had a church service every day. But that's the way it was. Under persecution, under threats, they still got together. Now, sometimes it wasn't everybody, it was only those who could. But they got together because they grew from that relationship one with another. We find this in areas where there's persecution, you're going to find this. Wherever the church is not recognized, you're going to find this. You're going to find people getting together. That's how many of the churches here in the United States, the Pentecostal churches, started after Azusa Street. They started with Bible studies in a living room somewhere. So that's what was happening. See, I put a series of questions there for you. If you were not a part of the gathering and did not know that this was a part of the letter, and you were hearing or reading this for the first time, what would you think about all this? I read that for the first time and I said, I wonder if everybody could sing that did the chanting. Because you sat beside somebody in church that couldn't sing, couldn't carry a tune in a bushel basket. Anybody set?
Poor James does every Sunday.
But can you imagine, Jenny, our worship leader in Presque Isle was that way. She could not carry a tune in a bushel basket. And the more excited she got, and the more the Holy Ghost began to move, the more off key she became. She sang in keys that I don't think any musician ever discovered. She was a musical explorer. Oh, it was wonderful. In fact, I had a deacon, I told you the story, I'll tell you again. I had a deacon that we had about three board meetings in a row where he said, she's got to go, just like that. He would give us her name, she's got to go. And so I went to the Lord and the Lord said to me, I put her there, you don't touch her. So I came back to the board meeting, I looked him in the eye, and I said, God told me, he put her there, I can't touch her. So she stays. Now that didn't make me very popular with him. In fact, he never was very popular with me. Because he wanted to run the church, and that doesn't work with me. How many can understand that? After having been here a little while... I'm just an easygoing, pliable, you know, go with the crowd and run with the flow type of guy. Yeah, right. And so, and then it wasn't several Sundays after that. I don't know how many. Could have been several Sundays, could have been several months. One young man had been seeking the Holy Ghost for a long time. His name was Peter. He had been seeking the Holy Ghost for a long time. Right during the middle of the song service, when she was so far out of key, she wasn't even located in the state of Maine. The Holy Ghost fell on him, and he started talking in tongues. And there was a ruckus over there, and there was he, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, while the leader was so far off key, it was pitiful, and the Holy Ghost was moving. And God said to me, see, that's the way I do things. Nobody gets the glory. Nobody gets the glory. What key phrase does Paul repeat in various ways in this passage? And we already did that. But there's another phrase he repeats in this. What is it? Anybody remember? Because you've already gone through these questions and answered them, I know. Because I know how good all of you are. According to his purpose. According to his purpose. You find it in verse 9. You find it in verse 5. According to his will. In the fullness of time to unite all things in verse 10. That's his will. Ordained us an inheritance, having predestined us according to the purpose of him. Again, his will. The purpose of him. In verse 11. It's repeated over and over again. Anything God gives us is his business, right? You don't like what God has given you? Don't complain about it. Go to him. He's the one that gave it. You don't have enough talent? Go to him. But remember, when you get the talent, he expects you to use it for his glory. Amen? What does verse 3 say the Father has done for us? Huh? He has blessed us with how many blessings?
Every spiritual blessing.
Every spiritual blessing. So that means that Jack does not get any more or any less blessing than Bonnie does. Hello? We sing an old chorus, I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live here, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning or I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. A good chorus to sing when things are going wrong. Sing it in the face of the devil. Yes, Xiao Yang.
Every spiritual blessing. So like spiritual blessing, exactly what is it? Is it like the fruit of the Spirit?
No. No, it's every good gift from God. To include the fruit of the Spirit.
So
to include the gifts of the Spirit.
Does that include physical blessing?
Yes. Physical, spiritual, emotional. Everything I get from God that edifies me and builds me up.
Why does he say spiritual blessing? Why doesn't he say who has blessed us with every blessing?
Because you'll find in Paul's writings, the way he puts things, he likes to make us think that things are coming from God. So if you add spiritual to the front of blessing, then it's more likely that you're going to think this is from God. And not something that happens by circumstance. How many of you have heard that someone said, yeah, that probably just happened?
Coincidence.
Yeah, it's a coincidence. That's a word I was looking for and couldn't find. Yeah, coincidence. And you've heard that before, right, Xiaoyang? Oh, that was just a coincidence. When you're telling people, that was a blessing from God. Well, because people are not geared, especially in our culture, that's why this book is good for us. They're not geared to consider that what they receive, the air I breathe on a second by second basis, is a blessing from God. Okay? And it's a spiritual blessing because it keeps me alive.
So is it like what he said in some other places, like all that is good and right is true?
Yeah. Yeah. My paycheck at the end of the week is a blessing from God because it's going to give me a chance to prove him with the 10% and get overly blessed from God. See? If our attitude was this, what I'm doing now, I'm going to do to the glory of God. I want to bless God, not wanting us to be blessed because we're dead. Dead people don't need blessings. So, not that I want to be blessed, but I want to bless God. When I understand that when I do things for you, because you have been blessed of God, I am blessing God. You're the body of Christ. Yeah. So if that becomes our attitude, think how much easier it would be to do nice things for people. Amen. Instead of criticize them and complain and murmur. Yes.
So like when he said, blessed be God the Father. What does that mean? Like, bless God. Like, so like, praise him?
Yeah, it means give him praise. What would be, you help me with this. What would be the ultimate blessing that I can give God?
My life?
Yes, exactly, Jack. My obedience, whether I like it or not. Yeah, whether I think it's right or not. If he says to do it, I'm going to do it. Right? You know, I can remember someone asking me one time, I'll tell you who it was Brother Purfoy. Because he knew he was the pastor of the Pentecostal Holiness Church in Whiteville, North Carolina. And I wasn't pastoring, I was selling cars from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 days a week, and then I was working from 7 to 7 all night long at the hospital interpreting. And I did this for a while. And I would arrive to church for Sunday morning. We went there to church, and I arrived to church. And one day he said to me, as we were leaving, he says, how can you do this? How can you do this? I said, it blesses me, and I can bless God. See, the Bible tells me, and I was taught, my father told me, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much more, as you see the day approaching. Wherefore, if you sin willfully, after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. That's Hebrews chapter 10. And so my father taught us, because we complain about being dragged to church, I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church every time there was a service within 100 miles of our house. And so he would quote that scripture to us. I memorized it. He said, every time the doors are open, you got to be there. That was my attitude. Was I tired? Yes. Did I feel like I would rather be sleeping? Yes. Because I would get out of church, go home and eat, and then go to bed to sleep till 4 o'clock when I had, till 5, 6, I left at 6, right? Yeah, at 6 o'clock when I had to get in the car and go back to the hospital to work 7 to 7. And you want to know something? I never got sick. Amazing. I was wore out, but I never got sick. Never got sick. Never missed a service when I was working the last year of Bible college. And Erica had been born. I was working sometimes till 3 or 4 in the morning, and then I would get home. I had to take her, because that's the only time I got to see her. So I'd get her out of bed for her 3 o'clock feeding. I would hope I'd get that, and I would change her diaper, and I would put her down so Leah could nurse her. Sometimes she never even got out of bed and nursed her. And then I would burp her, I would change her diaper again, and I would sit back in the chair, and I would just rock her, and oh man, what a blessing that was. And then I would lay her down. I did that for a whole year, and never got sick. Got sick when I stopped doing it. But as long as I did it, I didn't. And we never missed a service. Why? Because if God says, he said obedience. So when I obey God, I get blessed.
Amen.
But more than that, God says to his Father, God the Son says to God the Father, look, Pierre is blessing me because I'm obeying him. Of course, then I'm going to love one another, which is also an expression of blessing. I'm going to love one another because he said to me, love one another. He doesn't say, can I suggest to you that you would love one another, please? If you can, and if they love you, then please love them. No, he said, love your enemies as yourself. Wow. Love them that despitefully use you. Yeah. What's that, Joel?
And persecute you.
Yeah, and persecute you. And that's tough to do, isn't it, Joel? You want to know when you want to know how to gauge when you're sanctified? And you're where you should be in God? All those things become easy to do? Yeah. They become real easy to do. It's easy to come to church. In fact, it's fun to come to church. Coming to church is fun for me, even when I don't feel good. It's fun for me. You've heard me preach up there with the box of Kleenex and my nose running. Yeah, yeah. There have been times I felt like not even getting in the car to come to this place. Physically, spiritually, yeah, let's get there. Jesus might appear. My mother told us that, children, we're going to go to church. And keep in mind, every time we get there, Jesus might be there, physically.
Amen.
And that's the attitude we had. Oh, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. Because he might come. And wouldn't you be disappointed if you weren't here? Hello? He's going to do it on a Wednesday night. I know. Okay. So the key phrase is blessing, and the key phrase is according to his will. I bless God when I obey him. Okay? Now, he's given us every blessing. Blessing is every good, profitable thing I receive from God that edifies me in God. Okay? It won't necessarily be what I might get from the devil to try to deceive me. We learn to know the difference. Hear me carefully. We learn to know the difference by our constant feeding on the Word of God. Two things happen when we read and study the Word of God. Number one, we learn about God. And number two, we learn about the devil. Now, it won't necessarily say, this is how the devil's going to work, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. No, no. What it does, it fortifies the Holy Ghost inside of us. It helps us better listen to the Holy Ghost. And then when the devil comes with a deceitful thing like he did Jesus, quoting the Word of God verbatim and perfectly well quoted, Jesus understood the motive behind the quoting and was not deceived. Yes.
We also learn about ourselves.
Yeah.
What we will or yeah. will not
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, how many saw in the news lately that there is a scam going around where they create via AI the voice of your children in trouble or a loved one in trouble, and they scam money out of you and it sounds just like them and it's all fake?
Wow. It's been going on for
years. Yeah. See, that's what the devil does. He does it so much better than AI. AI will never catch up to the devil. Never. And the only reason I know it's the devil is because the Holy Ghost says, that's the devil. He lets me see behind it. He lets me see through. I saw through what they were going to do to me. How many have heard that expression? Oh, yeah. I can see right through what you're doing. See? And that's what the Holy Ghost does. And that develops in us to a greater extent the more of the Word of God we ingest and we study and we read and we obey. See? What was the purpose? What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost?
To lead us
Guide us into all truth. And then what's the second part?
Teach us.
Yeah, no, that's part of the guiding and the teaching. That's good. But the second part of that verse.
Stay close.
Huh? Yeah, no, before then.
Closer to us than a brother?
No. No.
Wisdom.
No. Guide us into all truth and bring back to our remembrance every word that I've spoken unto you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? See, I get to know what Jesus said. And getting to know what Jesus said is a good way to beat the devil. How did Jesus beat the devil?
It is written.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. He didn't try to debate him. You know? He didn't try to analyze what he was saying. He just quoted, "It is written." That's it. And that's how we win. Every blessing then we get, and we get more blessings the more we bless the Lord. David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth." When he got back to Ziklag from battle, and the enemy had come in and had burned down Ziklag, and had burned down his camp, and had stolen his wives, and stolen his children. His men of valor, which were powerful men. These weren't wimps. These were huge, powerful men of valor, men of valor, wanted to lynch him. They wanted to kill him. And the Bible says, he went to the Lord, and he took refuge in the God of his father. He left it in the hands of the Lord. It's easy to do when this has become a habit. So, list the blessing named in the rest of the passage. Use me instead of us to personalize each blessing. He uses us. You use me. And there you go, verse 4, all the way through verse 13. Any questions about that? I'll leave that to you. There's no correct answer there. That's what you feel, what you see. Amen? So you can get blessed. Now, keep in mind that the overall structure of these verses is helps to reveal Paul's idea. This is the first part of the book. So it's going to help us understand what Paul's going to develop through the rest of the book. His theme is what Christ has done for us. That's what blessings are. What Christ has done for us, verse 3, right? The summary of his works in and through Jesus Christ. What God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ. The bottom of page 11. Okay? He began with the summary of the Father's work for us in verse 3. Okay? Then he lists specifics in verses 4 through 14. Now, read this passage several times, and you're going to get the idea of how Paul's argument flows. Paul is very, what shall I say? He's very lawyer-like in the way he writes, in the way he puts his arguments in play. Huh? Yeah. And so, how does he organize everything? Now, I want to end tonight, and we may not get through this all, and talk a little bit about holy. talk a little bit about holy in verse 4. Verse 4 says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. Okay? So we are to be holy. So what does it mean to be holy? Set apart and consecrated how?
Utterly.
Totally. Many times, I've seen Christians that have great holy conduct and horrible unholy words. You've seen it, right, Jenny? Yeah? They act the part, oh, they've got it down perfectly well. But they can cut another brother in Christ to pieces with their tongue like nothing you ever saw. And what the Bible teaches is their conduct amounts to nothing because of their words. You see, I can destroy the blessings God wants to give me and put an obstacle to those blessings by the way I conduct myself. Now, those of us that have multiple children, some were easier to love than others.
Some were easier to like. They all were lovable.
Yeah, you had to love them because they were yours, yeah. But some of them wanted to please you. We never had to fight with Erica to clean her room. Never. Never had to fight with Erica to change her clothes. Might have to fight with her to not change her clothes. Because she got a spot on something and she had to change it. And I had fun. She had all kinds of stuffed animals on her bed. And I'd go in and rearrange them. Then take them off the bed, just rearrange them. Who was in my room? Someone was messing around with my animals. She knew. How in the world? I'll never know. I mean, Leah can put the pillows on the bed in a different manner because we have to have pillows on our bed. When she goes to California, there's never a pillow on our bed. But anyway, and I don't care what shape or they're in. So Jonathan was different. Jonathan couldn't care less if he never cleaned his room. He couldn't care less if he ever changed his clothes. Didn't matter to him. Yeah. And some of us, to God, might be more of a blessing to God than others. I think it all depends on how we bless God. Now, God's perfect. So God's not subject to the way I think or the way I act. No. And he's not subject to my opinions. Because he's perfect. But he's also just. And justice demands what?
Equal.
Yeah, it's equal. What else does it demand?
Fairness.
Huh?
Fairness.
Yeah? What else?
Mercy.
What else? It demands my response to that justice. Right? DEI in our country, I saw it clearly this afternoon. DEI in our country is a response of the left to the fact that they hate justice. They hate justice. Because justice treats everybody alike. Right? So DEI is a camouflage, it's a cloud that they spew out and that they puff up and that they promote in order to hide the fact that they don't want justice, because the justice that exists in our country on which we were founded is biblical justice.
Absolutely.
And we can't have that in this day and age. So holy, set apart utterly for God with the character and conduct befitting set apart to God. Okay? The inner nature is transformed by grace, and it is central to holiness. For only the holy can approach a holy God. That's what people don't understand today. They allow the world, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, and we're going to pick it up here next week. They allow themselves to be influenced by the fashion and the customs and the way the world's doing things today, not understanding that that is totally contrary to the holiness of God. God said, come out from among them and be separate. Now he knew better than we do. He knew for a fact that when we try to go out there and be like the world so we can win the world, more than likely the world wins and we become like the world. That happens almost every single time. There is no place in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, there is no place where you can find Jesus adapting himself to anything that existed in his culture and society of that day. Anybody see him going to the temple to offer a sacrifice for sin? Is anybody ever see that in the scripture? No, the two times he went to the... Well, he went to the temple. What was the primary reason? Huh? No, he did that twice. But no, the other primary reason.
To teach.
To read from the Word of God and to teach. And the other two reasons he went was to clear out. He did it twice. To clear out the money changers. Okay, because they had made the temple a den of thieves. So he did not do what I think that's what bothered the Pharisees more than anything else. He didn't act like a Pharisee. He didn't act like a rabbi, and they called him a rabbi.
He didn't fit into their mold.
No, he did not fit into their mold. He was separate from the world he came to save, and he had incredible impact on that world because he was separate. Hello? Many Christians today have to tell the world, do as I say, not as I do. Because as I do is not going to lead them anywhere close to the cross. So I got to say, do as I say. Hopefully my words will lead them to the cross. Questions? We'll deal with holiness and predestination next week. I'm going to help you with those. More. Not a popular topic. Holy is not a popular word today. All right? There are no questions? Yes?
It leads to persecution when you act Christ-like.
What's that?
It leads to persecution when you act Christ-like.
Why?
Because they don't like that. They're...
Why? No. Not because they don't like it. Why?
They're being convicted.
Yeah? Why?
Contrary to what they believe.
Yeah? Why?
They feel they're being controlled.
No, why? That's part of it, but why?
They hate Jesus.
Yeah. No. No, they wish they were like you. So when I see qualities in you that I wish I had, I pull you down in order to make myself feel better. Isn't that the philosophy today?
Wow.
Yeah? You see it every day when you watch the news, for Pete's sakes. Yeah. I saw a graph. Go home and look at a graph of the stock market
today. The
last 4 years. Just look at it. It's gone down about that much when it went down before about that much, and the same people that are crying and panicking and saying we're going to go off the cliff back then weren't saying anything when it went down this much. Look at the graph. You'll see it. Because they see in you what they wish they had in them, and they don't want to pay the price you've paid to have what you have in you. So the best way to do is to pull you down to make themselves feel better.
I don't think they really wanted what we have.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, Xiaoying. Xiaoying, everybody is born with a hole in their heart.
Yeah, but like they think that like the power and money can fill their hole.
Exactly.
They've tried that and it didn't do it.
Well, they, but that's why they think they could get more, and so that they could have it.
Who historically is the richest man America's ever had?
John D. Rockefeller.
Yes, and what did he say when they asked him, how much money does it take to satisfy? He said, just a little bit more. So no, what we are born, and you were born, everybody's born with a hole in the heart that only Jesus can fill. We are born in the image of God. We're created in the image of God. They see in you that which they would satisfy them, but they're not willing to pay the price because they get this stupid idea that to serve God, you've got to somehow live a monastery. What is a monk's?
A monastic.
I said it right? A monastic life. And we don't live a monastic life. Yeah.
We're free, actually, when we act like that.
Exactly right. So they see in you qualities. It may not be Christ. It may be qualities that emanate from a Christ-like spirit that's in you, Xiaoyang. And they want those qualities, but they don't know how to get them.
Well, they're not willing.
Yeah, and it makes them feel better to pull you down. It makes them feel better to pull you down. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
No, I still think they just like darkness. They hate like...
That's true. That is every bit.
It's like exposing what they are doing.
Yeah.
It's like that's evil. And that's why they hate you.
What happens, you guys don't know, but what happens when you walk into your kitchen in the tropics and turn on the light?
The cockroaches
disappear.
Same
thing in New York. You can see the cockroaches. So in the darkness, which is what you're talking about. That was brilliant, Xiaoyang. That's true. In the darkness, they can hide what they are. And you come with the light of the Word of God and the Gospel, and that shines and brings attention to their shortcomings, and they don't like that. So let's pull you down so that nobody will pay attention to you. And that happens in the workplace. Has that ever happened to anybody in the workplace? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And they think it's fun.
Either totally ignore you or they talk dumb.
Know what's going on. That's how I said we learn about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rush to the Lord in our thinking, in our heart, and get strength from Him, knowing that He went through the 40 years in the wilderness the same way said, it is written. So then the Word of God is so powerful to help us through. Yeah.
The 40 days.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did I say, years?
4 years. 40 days. Yeah.
Really hard.
All right. Any other questions?
God will sustain them.
Yeah. We'll continue this next week. Bring that question next week. We'll continue this.
I didn't ask the question.
Oh, you didn't. You had a good thought. Yeah. Okay. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer.